sucked from driving by Hesmo, how we were to pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time, for, Lord, the freedom that we still have to meet and gather together. Father, for each soul that's here, for the homes that are represented. And I pray, Lord, please, that you would take this time that we've set aside to be with you and do with it as you will, Lord. You know what it is that we need more than anybody else. And I pray that you would deliver that to us this morning. I pray you too this morning for the souls involved in the LGBT events that are going on around the country. And I pray you too very, very specially for the Hamilton family, especially for Reggie and William and Paul and Kelly and Rachel. And for Will's family, for himself and his mum Christine and his granny Mary Ann, Lord, for their recent loss and for the family as they adjust to life without a mother and a wife. Please bless our time in your presence, Lord. Please be with all of those that are suffering or working their way through grief. And Lord, we love you and we thank you. We remember lost family members, we remember saved friends and family members. And we pray for a closer walk with you for each one of us and for the great conviction of the Holy Spirit for those that don't yet know you as Savior. Thank you for the folks around about us, for the folks on the road, and we remember especially Terence McLaughlin this morning and the accident that he was involved in on Thursday morning. I pray, Father, please, that he would have had time to consider his eternity. And for you, John and Mark, we love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, for even when we didn't love you, for the great victory that we won and overcome in the world, the flesh and the devil, to come to know you, Savior. And we leave this at your feet and ask it according to your will. Amen. Amen. There we go. Let's do hymn number 27 first. Hymn number 27. I pray that is our aim as we stand in church or sit in church this morning, that we would back, draw nearer to God. Nearer, my God, to thee. Hymn number 27 in the wee verse.
Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, to thee.
sing one of the other hymns, if you'd like to take a big hymn book, we'll turn to 356. I don't know what it is this morning, but I just feel a bit groggy. I feel as if I've done a day's work. But I know the devil certainly doesn't want anybody to stand up and ask any questions. We appreciate everybody that was able to be out yesterday. So please do pray for all of those. Hymn number 356. If they're fit, let's stand as we sing. That I must tell Jesus. Yes.
Thank you. This morning reading is from the book of Psalms. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His fruit shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thou shalt fall by thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see your reward the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the little lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, that he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I sanctify him, and show him my salvation. Amen.
Verses there. Well worth a wee read. Well, especially verse number 7. You think about all the people in this world that have rejected Jesus Christ, and verse number 7 is the truth of their end. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but shall not come nigh thee. Well worth knowing that you're saved from judgment when you put your faith in Christ. Amen. Thanks for that, Norman. Did Steve have a hand in that as well?
Two hands, or at least thumbs.
Just want to remind everybody of the Little Blue Prayer List. Please do make sure that you have one. I know we're only limited numbers here today. We miss Charlotte and Colin and Pat and Steve. Please also do pray for all those that have been gone. Just because they're not in church doesn't mean they're not going to heaven, but it would be nice to have. The fellow says, look, but I haven't to go to heaven, and so please do pray for all of those souls. Don't forget Stan and the folks up in Bangor, Ed Bissett and the folks in Temple Patrick. Please also pray as well for fellow Glenn Wilkinson, pray for him. Johnny Campbell as well, please do pray for him. We met a bunch of folks at the Gay Pride. One of the guys' names is Paul. The Lord knows who he is, please pray for him. A wee girl by the name of Amy, and a bunch, hundreds of young people that literally don't know their left hand from their right hand, and really do need to be saved before it's everlasting too late. The LGBT life is not a happy one. For all their bright colours and all their many parties, it is a far from joyful experience. So please do pray and be ready to tell them that Jesus loves them. Loves them, doesn't love their sin, just like everybody else. Anyway, please do remember that. I just want to remind you all that Will's auntie was buried on Thursday, so please do pray for the Ritchie family and the Hammond family at this time. Cousins and various souls, please. It's a difficult time. She was quite ill for quite some time, and a lot of time in the family was wrapped up looking after her. And it's a very difficult time afterwards when that person is gone, because all of a sudden you have huge hole in your life that used to be devoted to taking care of that person, but all of a sudden you have all this time in your hands and really nothing but time to fill up. So please do pray for the Ritchie family and the Hamilton family. I remember another family that had a similar situation. Fortunately, God was not a priority in the family and they weren't saved. And shortly after the mother passed away, the father actually hung himself. So please pray for the Ritchie family and the Hamilton family. Anybody that was lost on it, that the extent illness knows exactly what I need. So please do pray for all of those. Other than that, we had a good night on Wednesday evening. Glad to see everybody there. We got to show off our church to a few of the neighbours and a few friends, and everybody was suitably impressed, and I am still impressed with it. And I still enjoy it every time I come in. What can I say? Thank you all for your contributions, for your finance contributions, and most importantly too, for your contributions of strong right arm, backs and shoulders, and anybody that learned, I think I might have learned to do Kung Fu. The number of times I went up and down like that with a paintbrush. I think it was a lot more times, wasn't it? No, karate kid. Up and down, I think I learned to do it because I ended up, what was it, 5 coats at one point and we still wouldn't play ball, but there you go. It's true what they say, if you want to get out of the job, just do it badly lots of times. That's why I don't do dishes anymore, though. And then Monica will say, I think it's about time you did the dishes, and I do them once badly. She says, I'm doing the dishes from here on. She doesn't really know anything about them. But I had a good couple of days. A good day on Wednesday. It was a sad day on Thursday, but in one respect, it was also a good day in that Fiona Hamilton wasn't suffering anymore, but she went home to heaven. And then we had a day of spiritual combat yesterday as we preached the gospel and offered gospel tracts. Will had the most success. Many of you get handed out about a dozen. Yeah. I think 2 people took them off me, so I got my eye wiped by Will. But people, there were a few that took the leaflets, and we just prayed for those souls. The Lord knows who they are. Other than that, I have for private prayer requests, Lane and Will and Norman, Charlotte as well, and me and Monica. I take it we all still have our private prayer requests. Grand job. I suppose one is answered here having Frank with us this morning, but you're away, is it today? So please do pray for Frank as he goes back to the real world. Has to work for a living and pay bills now. Please do pray for him. It's all new. I'm not going to ask the embarrassing question. Frank, have you had to tap your mum and dad for a loan yet? I'm not going to ask that question. Because I had to, the first month that I went out, my money ran out by about the 2nd week, and I had to ask my mum and dad for 30 or 40 quid about 30 years ago, just to see me through the next 2 weeks, because I miscalculated my money. Well, it happens. If you miscalculate your money, you might not be in the right job. We're glad to have you. You don't want to be coming there. It's always lovely to have you with us. We're always glad to see you. And you are prayed for even when you're not here. I'm sure your mummy and daddy mentioned your name a lot in prayer as well. So, amen. I think that's about that. Anything else that we need to be thinking on or praying? Mind leading us in a wee word, Will, if you would,
Father. Yeah, Father, thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the gift you've given us thus far, Lord, of health and strength, Lord, and homes and family and friends, Lord, as well, Lord. And thank you for sending your Son on the cross today for us, America to save us, Lord, and to show us your glory, Lord, and that your glory may be extended to everybody in this world, Lord. That people may look at your Son and see the love that you gave to mankind, Lord, and that may accept them. Except Jesus as the Lord and Savior of life and save souls. Remember the people yesterday in the parade, Lord, you might save them as well, Lord, that they need you as now than ever, Lord. Save them souls, Lord, and be with them and keep them, Lord, and send them a message, Lord, and reinforce them that they need a Savior, Lord. save and punish them, Lord. Pray for friends and family, Lord, give them the unsafe family members or friends, Lord. Convict them of sin, and then we tell a kind word to them, Lord, and the message of abiding love, Lord, and that they may turn from their sin, Lord, and safe for Jesus Christ, Lord. Pray for our sermon today, Lord, if Marcus comes to daughter, Lord, come up with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and Lord, and upgrade our lives, Lord, and upgrade our souls, and give them a message, Lord, and may they come pointed to areas of our life where you need for us to improve or to improve in our lives, Lord, and to draw us closer to walk. We thank you for Frank, Lord. We have him as he goes to back to his London home, Lord. To the generations, Lord, thank you for all the best of us, Lord. And draw us closer to walk with you, Lord. And help us to draw us closer to walk with you, Lord. We have Frank, with Patty's team, Lord. We have his illness, Lord, and I kill him. Give him respite as well. Give him respite as well, Lord. And stop him and heal him, Lord. I pray, Lord. And take anything away from us, Lord. For those that work with, don't have those relatives, especially mine, Lord. If the park helps the Hampton and the Ritchie families, Lord, as they work, you know, Lord. Lord, give us comfort, Lord, and keep us well, Lord. And Lord, help the family pull together, Lord, and give strength as well, Lord. And may we grow come closer to thee, Lord. With us today, Lord, be able to give us our offerings and may our supplication and our worship be accepted in thy sight.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books again. Big ones this time, I think. Let me see. Yep, we'll do 234. We'll remain seated, for He is so precious to me. Amen.
I stand on.
turn to number 13. Number 13, good old favourite. Guys, you know, like, we have Jehovah. That's called Stand As We Sing.
It's old.
It's old, old. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Deceive the nations no more, and the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints and beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I took verse number 15 as our text, because that's when it really is over. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Although there are many instances when it is over for people in the Bible, this is jumping off point, the starting point. And I'd like to give a little bit of thought to the subject of it's over. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll proceed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to worship and praise you. Thank you for those good old songs. And even those ones that aren't, that are maybe old, but we just haven't made them ours yet. We thank you for all of those too, for your long suffering and for your patience. Lord, for loving us whenever we were unlovely and whenever we just outright hated you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping with us. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for a listening ear whenever we call out to you for salvation. Please bless this time in your presence, Lord. And please speak to the many souls whose hearts have been touched these past days and weeks and months and years who have received leaflets through doors or a word in their ear. Please speak to them about their eternities, Lord. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, even now for the promise of your presence with us this morning. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father. Amen. Amen. It is over. This is the final roundup. This is the end of the world that we sit in right now. Pretty much this is the timetable. We don't know how long it's going to be until the rapture. But the Bible says, we were just having a conversation on the way home from the parade and after watching the shape of some of the people that were in it. And said to Marianne, Marianne, I'm sure people have been saying how much worse it can get for, well, nearly 90 years. And we say that today, how much worse can it get? And I'm going to tell you how much worse it can get. The LGBTQ is going to have a P in there before very long, and that P is for pedophile. They will soon be campaigning for the rights of pedophiles to do whatever they want. Mark my words. Anyway, this marks the timetable is there's going to be some time up until the rapture. And then after the rapture, there will be 7 years of tribulation, of great tribulation. Then after that, there will be 1,000 years of God's reign upon the earth. And of us walking about in a glorified body, serving, obeying, ruling and reigning, and rebuilding the world so that the billions of souls, the 2 or 3 billion souls that are still alive after the tribulation, great tribulation, have somewhere to live. Then after that, the devil is released for a little while, just enough time to talk the gullible souls that have always hated God into following him. And then they surround the camp of the saints in Jerusalem, thinking that they're going to win. After not having learned, whenever Christ was outnumbered, they couldn't kill him. Whenever he comes back in his power, they couldn't stop him. And they're devil's still going to try again, but they're going to learn that lesson that it is over. And fire comes down from heaven and wipes out every living creature that opposes God, and then that's when the great white throne of judgment comes. That's the timetable. So, the end of all things is at least 1,007 years away. So, don't worry too much about global warming or any of that other nonsense. Amen. I'd like to start with a little bit here where it talks about the devil being up, locked up for 1,000 years. And the whole world enters into a Garden of Eden-like situation, where everybody gets a fair shake, where glorified souls, as I've already mentioned, you and me and other saved souls, will be round about, just doing whatever God tells us to do. You know? I was just thinking, even as we were reading this morning, there has been another instance of this in the Bible. If anyone will recall to mind that whenever the Lord went down into the grave, gave up his life, the Word of God records that the tombs of many of the saints actually opened and they went back into the town to witness to, I am sure, the loved ones. And I am sure that would be a powerful testimony. Look, you know we were dead, but now we're alive forevermore. This is what happened. This is what it was like. You would need to get right with God. And I would say that'd be a very powerful testimony. But somebody will find a film made about that and they will believe the stupid premises in the film and won't get saved. That's neither here nor there. There'll come a time when everybody has enough to eat, when disease is non-existent, most likely, when everybody is safe in their beds at night, the pubs are gone, all the pagan religions are stepped on, and there's only one religion on the face of the earth, and that is Christianity, Bible believing Christianity. Although I am sure there will be many pagans who will not be allowed to worship, because it is very destructive. And yet for all that, for all that little children are safe to play, even when it's dark out in the streets, for all that, even the elderly and the weak and the infirm are able to walk about without being in fear of their lives, there will still be people that are unhappy. There will still be people that want what other people have, and there will still be people that stand before God for judgment in this world before going into judgment in the next world, having killed or stolen, raped or maimed or kidnapped, or taken the Lord's name in vain. There will still be people that do those things, knowing that there is a very serious penalty for them. There will be instant justice. I think I shared with Norman during our many tea breaks that there is no fear of the law when judgment is delayed. Whenever people are put in jail and they're there for days and weeks and months and years before they come to court, there's no fear of I'm here for murder, but I'm going to be sitting for 10 years getting 3 squares and an entertainment package and medical and even get an education. There's no fear of judgment whenever that happens. But judgment will pretty much be very straightforward and very quick. It will be perfect, or as perfect as a perfect world gets with imperfect people in it. And yet, people will still be miserable. And after 1,000 years, whenever those that love God have lived hugely extended lives, and those that hate him have lived just the lives of your standard sinner, the devil is released for a little while. And the strange thing is that there are some people that want nothing but what other people have. It's just the way they are. They want to be. It's not competition. It's greed and avarice. It's the love of money, the love of power. And that, as the Bible says, then the 2 Timothy, is the root of all evil. And people will still be open to the devil's invitation. Whenever he says, let us stand up, let us rebel against this evil tyrant that rules from Jerusalem, that gives everybody 3 squares, that makes sure people are living without disease, that has kept crime off the streets and has given plenty to everyone. Let us rebel against him because he's treating us so badly. We're not allowed to go out and take what's not ours. We're not allowed to go out and steal and lie and cheat. We should be allowed to fulfill our heart's desires. And much of the world will run after the devil. that does today. How much of the world do you think follows God? A very, very, very small proportion. If you want an idea of that, look at Israel. Look at the countries that support her, even if it's only in name. That's pretty much the Western world. America, Australia, and Britain, at least they're supposed to. And look at the countries that hate Israel, like Europe and Russia and China. Can't even think. That just shows you the state that I'm in. Big countries and the vast majority of the population of the world, India and places like that. That's the way it is today. You think what it'll be like in the tribulation of great tribulation. Devil's released for a little while, and he sucks all of these people that have a gripe against God, who love sin rather than the Lord, and he sucks them all into his life one last time, and he tries one last time to kill Jesus, to stop his work, to make sure that the words that are written in Revelation 20 don't happen. God checked his clock. Not checking that clock because it's an hour slow. But he checks his clock and he says, "Man, that's about the right time. Everybody that loves me is here. Everybody that hates me is out there who calls fire down from heaven, as he has done many other times in the Bible. If you remember Elijah, God sent fire down from heaven and consumed, I think it was over 100 men that demanded that he appear in front of the king. And the last captain said, "Please, Elijah, please let my life be precious in your sight. Don't send fire down from heaven, but the king wants for you to come and speak with him." And anyway, no fire came down from heaven whenever, wasn't it, Elisha and the prophet Baal, whenever they had the sacrifice. God has done this before, and he's going to finish off on his side. Then with them utterly consumed with fire in this world, they stand before the great white throne of judgment. If there was ever a time when it was over, it's right now. Right then, sorry. These many souls, all of a sudden, the last things that they will have remembered is burning with this awful fire, standing in perfect bodies. Perfect bodies, but imperfect souls, if you want to put it like that. Perfect bodies with sin nature. But if you think even about an imperfect body with the sin nature and with the new nature, we can sit in church for an hour. If we had to sit here all day, we might start to get a bit antsy. But you think about lost souls with no desire to know anything about God would be grinding their teeth in church. God is quite right in not having them in heaven, given also that it was their choice. If you can't stick God in this world for an hour or two in a week, you are certainly not going to be able to stick it in heaven. So he looks at the books. Books that contain their works and compares them against the books of the law. And finds that even the works that they cling to as a means of paving their way to heaven don't work. Their good deeds have not outweighed the bad, because God weighs the thoughts of your heart as well as the deeds of your hands. And God also considers the words that you've spoken. And it's over. They may think, "Oh, I'm judged by my works." Until at the very end of the verse 15, where it says, "Is their name in the book of life?" And the angel looks up and says, "Lord, no. Their name is locked not in the book of life." And then it is finally over. The realization of it will finally set in. As they are taken by whatever limb the angel can grasp and thrown as far and as hard as they can into the lake of fire. That is not what we want for anybody. And that's the reason we went out yesterday to speak, to preach to, and to offer gospel tracts to the souls involved in that most wicked and Christ-rejecting of occupations and lifestyles, the LGBT lifestyle. Not what God ever wanted for people. That is what people have chosen for themselves. After that, well, it's definitely it's over for them. And it's only beginning for us. Because there will be a new heaven and a new earth where indwelleth righteousness. A no sinful thing anymore, and that's where you and I will spend our eternity. And we will be so glad. Now, the reason that I felt a bit groggy today is it's been a solid week. We have been many preparations. Norman and myself, we were, was it 2 weeks ago, tomorrow or the next day, we were in finishing off a few electrics and heaters and bits and pieces and clearing out the back, and that went on, and we even got the grass cut, and even our next door neighbour came round to lend a hand, Stephen, and cut hedges. And then we had the preparations, the gospel preparations for the service and the food preparations for the service, and then sadly we had Fiona Hamilton's funeral to go to, and then we had the preparations for the LGBT parade. And it feels like, not saying an anticlimax, but I'm feeling it. I feel a bit groggy or a bit tired today. I am glad that's over. I am not sorry to see all the work done, but I am glad it's over, that we can now enjoy the fruits of our labours. I am sure many souls involved in the LGBT movement, this is supposed to, isn't this Pride Month or something? I think there have been many parades and whatnot with these souls in Belfast at the end of last month, at the start of this month, and across in England, but I am sure, well, I'm glad this month is rolling to a close for that reason. I am sure many souls that were involved in there, they're glad it's over too, because they had a great victory over the Christians. We got to do what we wanted. We got to plumb the depths of human depravity, I think might be the best way of saying it. And we got to go even deeper than any man has ever. It sounded like, was it Ridley Scott whenever he was diving for the Titanic? With his little robot submarines and one thing and another, and he spotted the ruins, and it was a great celebration. That's exactly what it reminds me of. Psalm 2 talks just about that very thing, and it's well worth a read. It says in Psalm 2 about why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. The people set themselves, and the leaders gather together and set themselves against God and his anointed. Saying we'll shake their bands off of us and we'll just do whatever we like. And they think that it's over, at least for another year. Many, not just people involved in the LGBT movement, but many lost souls that love one particular activity that the Bible is quite expressly against, fail to discern the difference between God's patience and long-suffering and God's condoning of bad behaviour. They fail to discern the difference. Oh, God hasn't burned us to a crisp with fire, therefore God must agree with all of the bad things that we do. Therefore, they can't be bad because God made me this way. That is not the case. What is even sadder, well, bear me out on this, is that many people in cars driving past, just the public, felt free to express their unity with those that are in the parade and their disgust and hatred of the gospel, using words that we can't actually mention in church or in polite company. And the reason for that, and the reason that it gets steadily worse every year, but more so this past wee while, is because the government went to great pains to make sure that they had about 2 years of people that weren't allowed to go out anywhere except, oh, a half an hour a day, if you must. You're not allowed to work, that's the worst thing that you can ever do, and you're not allowed to go out with, and you're not allowed to visit with your family or compare notes with them. You have to stay in and watch government-sponsored state propaganda whenever it comes to your morals and your beliefs. You must stay in. Like, what do you do if you're stuck in the house? I watched hundreds of painting videos whenever I was getting better. Hundreds, maybe thousands. of painting soldiers and tanks and planes, hundreds of them. Because let me tell you, it's a long day to sit in the house doing nothing. And that's when I couldn't do anything. You think about people going crazy and all that they have is the entertainment coming from that plastic rectangle in the corner of the room. And what happens after 2.5 years of getting the same dribble forced into your ears is that you start to believe it. And I am sure that they were glad of the audible conviction that a few of them suffered for like 15 or 20 seconds as they passed us yesterday. I am sure they are glad it's over too. When we stand in front of the great white throne of judgment, it's not for the saved soul. Saved soul, you're judged already. You've been found guilty. But more importantly, your guilt has been covered. Your guilt has been washed away, has been paid for. The Lord said, Telestai, it is finished. I have paid for the sins of whomever will come to me with a repentant and a broken heart. And all that they have to do is ask. This judgment is not for the Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that judgment is for the Christian's work. For the lost soul, still guilty, and up to their neck in sin. For that same lost soul whose sins are exposed and checked against the books, did anybody here ever do badly in school? Fine, you can just keep your hands. Did anyone ever have a subject that they could just never like, even if it was different chocolate? Biology was that with me. It seemed too squishy. I like numbers and computers and things like that, electronics. That seemed very cut and dry. I always dreaded the tests. And I always wished that a convenient hole would open up in the ground and I could drop into it whenever it came to getting the results of any test. The teacher was great. I enjoyed the classes because he let us look after his locusts and his goldfish. Not his goldfish, his tropical fish. We loved doing that. And I even got to take the gerbils home over summer. Love doing all that. I just hated having to remount all of these facts about biology. That's the way all these souls are going to be as their sins are read out. Oh my goodness, I wish I could have the ground open up and not be subject to this anymore. But at last, they'll be praying, oh Lord, I wish this judgment was over. Lord, I wish that everybody else didn't know the things that go on in my head or went on behind closed doors. And then they'll be thrown in the lake of fire. And you're standing in front of that judge, the Son of God, the great white throne of judgment. It's not as Savior anymore, it's as judge, jury, and executioner, so to speak. That wrath that is mentioned at the end of John chapter 3. You know the wrath of God that is said to abide with the Christ rejecter? The wrath of God abideth with them forever. That wrath is finally visited upon them. And I'm going to tell you why. God is completely justified in visiting his wrath upon the lost sinner. Does anybody here have someone special? Or something that you love, that you would be so deeply offended that you would be moved to do something about it if somebody ever did something to it or to them? I know we do. And we tend to get more annoyed and upset for other people than we do for our own slights. God so loved us, in the words of John chapter 3 and verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him so that we can be saved. So that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And whenever we say that verse, it sounds like a very little thing. But we need to know exactly who was given. The very first page of scriptures in your Bible say, in the beginning, God created and that was Jesus. Jesus speaking those words. With another word, the Lord caused the dry land to appear. With another word, the Lord caused the plants to come up everywhere, fully matured and ready to go. With another word, the Lord called animals out of the water and off of the dry land and the air. With another word, the Lord called us up out of the dust. And with a breath into our nostrils, he made us living souls. With another word, the Lord called not just our sun, but all the suns and the moons into being. And set them in a precise clockwork precision orbit in the galaxy and within the galaxies around the own stars. Many times he showed us the cost of our sin, beginning even with the life of Adam and Eve, who didn't have Netflix and Amazon and BBC to watch, but still managed to commit sin, because that's just the nature of man. And he showed us that that's going to cost. Whenever you break my laws, that is the cost of breaking my laws. And you know what? People say, but I don't like that, but it's God's football. And he sets the rules, and we either play by his rules or we just go home. We stepped into his creation so many times. He gave us the example of a great ark of salvation in Noah. A great effort of us many years in the completion that would offer complete salvation, but which so many people rejected. He spoke also through the life of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. He spoke also in the life of Joseph. And he spoke to many of his men, the prophets, major and minor, and gave them things to write down. Say, Lord, this doesn't make any sense, but write it down anyway, because it will make sense someday to somebody. Can you imagine Joel as he was writing it down? The Lord said, Joel, someday I'm going to pour my spirit out in all flesh. Does that mean everyone will be like Samson? Does that mean everyone will be as wise as Solomon? Does that mean everyone will walk as closely with you as David did, the apple of your eye? There is the potential for that, for the Christian that will walk with God. And they wrote those things down. Eventually, after thousands of years, he actually incarnated himself in the flesh. He was born into this world just like the rest of us. And like so many children born into the world today, you have a lot of hurdles to go through before you even taste air for yourself. In this day and age, you have abortion, you have drugs, you have bad behavior of mothers. Goodness, who knows? But he was incarnated into the world, and he went through multiple attempts on his life. He fulfilled many prophecies that he himself had written down over the thousands of years. And he lived and worked and breathed and demonstrated his power amongst us for 3 years. Well, actually for 33 years, because many things happened to him, and he did as a young child and as a young man. And then as an itinerant preacher with the very power of God at his disposal. He healed the sick, raised the dead, commanded the wind and the waves, even the animal kingdom was subject to him. The devils had to do exactly what they were told. And what did they do to this man? Just like they're going to try at the end of all time when it's over, they tried to kill him time and time and time again. And eventually, whenever his time was up and his job was done, he allowed himself to be sent to the cross. Just like it said in Isaiah 53, as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened the mother's mouth. He was illegally arrested, unjustly tried. The whole system was rigged against him, designed not for justice but to keep themselves in power. He was beaten to a pulp. They made him carry his own cross, and then they nailed him to it, and he hung there and suffered for many hours, not just the physical pain, but the spiritual pain of our sins being heaped upon him, and the mental pain of him being separated from his Father for the first time in all of their existence. And he did that for you and me. And then he gave up his life. It was done. And he received a spear in the heart for his body. And then 3 days later he raised himself from the dead. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do any of the things that Jesus did. His power is so beyond us as our lives are beyond the little ants that creep and crawl around our feet. And yet, many people think that a few coins in the plate, begrudging church attendance, and a few repeated prayers is going to be equal to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. If you do, you think that the paltry, the empty things that we offer God, they're already His, by the way, are enough to pay for Jesus' suffering, to equal Jesus' suffering. You've got another thing coming. You have the great white throne of judgment ahead of you. I seriously urge you to think again. For the saved soul, you might be glad it's over whenever the clock gets to 12, which it just did about 4 minutes ago, and know that the service is soon over. Sometimes I'm not the most eloquent, and I quite acknowledge that. But for the saved soul that loves God and is willing to obey, it's not over. I don't know about you. I don't have a photographic memory. I don't even have a photographic anything. Somebody once said, I used to have a photographic memory, but I ran out of film years ago. Or they say storage on my memory card now. There's still a bit of Bible reading to be done. You might never read anything new, but you will be reminded of the things that you've read. The story hasn't changed, and it's still as good today as it was 2,000 years ago. And there's still people to be prayed for. There's still your needs to be lifted up into the halls of heaven. There's still names to be mentioned. There's still God's presence to be sought for the saved and the lost. There's still a church to go to and support. There's still an evangelism and an outreach. And there's still, I don't know if you've heard of consolidating your life, making sure that what you have is founded upon the solid rock. And the reason you do that is because you know it can be over very, very quickly. You know the awful truth of this life, that if you step off into eternity without Jesus Christ, it really is over. Remember the rich man, whenever the Bible records in Luke 16, it's not a parable, it's told by the only man that could. Whenever he closed his eyes in death in this world, he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You wouldn't want that for anybody, even your worst enemy. So for you and I, whenever these old bodies stop and the heart stops beating, when the last breath escapes our lips, whenever our eyes close for that last time, then our labors are over. That doesn't mean we stop thinking. It doesn't mean that we cease to be. It literally means we have so much strength and vitality and power. The Bible says whenever we see Jesus, we shall be like him. Do you know the things that the Lord was able to do after his resurrection? He was able to appear and disappear anywhere that he needed to be at will. He was able to fly up into the clouds in the presence of so many of his followers. And that is just, I am sure, the barest hint of the things that Jesus could do. The work doesn't stop, but it stops being work. It starts to be pleasure. And I know sometimes whenever you're doing things in the church, it is a battle. Because there's a part of us doesn't want to do it. There's a part of us just wants to do what everybody else is doing. Watching TV or walking about carefree, indulging ourselves as and when. But there's a part of us knows what we should be doing. It'll be done. It'll all be done. We have so much power, so much wisdom, so much strength and vitality that anything God asks us to do will simply be a demonstration of those things, those gifts that God has granted us. And it will be fun. If you ever watched a little child learning to walk, the number of times they fall on their behinds or on their wee faces and they cry but they pick themselves up and walk again. And if you told them to walk the length of the Maboy Road and those wee feet only take 4 or 5 inch steps at a time, they would cry their eyes out at the work ahead of them. But whenever you get to be older, whenever your feet stretch to 36 inches at a time, 3 foot, a yard or more every time, maybe 2 if you're running down that road, it's nothing. It is a joy to be able to cover that, and that is what it's like, is what it will be like for the Christian when this life draws to a close. Be the best of church. Praising God. Listening to his words, not mine. And just like the apostles explained to those souls that had not received Christ as a Saviour, he will explain his word to us, not more perfectly, but absolutely perfectly. We get to serve for 1,000 years in this world, and then through the end of the ages of eternity. Basically, life just gets better and better. And I was reminded as I was, if you've got your Bibles there, we'll close with a word or two from Job. Job chapter 19. Verses that we spoke about quite some time ago. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verse 25. This is for you if you're seeing, you're listening today. Job chapter 19, verse 25, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And I shall see for myself with mine eyes, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." And that was a man who walked in this world hundreds of years before Christ. And that's the promise that Christ has for us. For a Christian, it'll never be over. It literally can get better and better and better. But for the lives of the lost, the Christ rejecter and the reprobate soul, someday it will be over. And it'll not be at all pleasant. And that is why we go and preach. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Good sports today. And I appreciate it. Let's take a big hymn book. I think we have a closing hymn. I can just find it. Hymn number 228. 228. Love to tell the story. Even if it's not always the famous from which it sits. 228. I love to tell the story. Love that one.
Love to tell a story, a love to be.
you a good time and attention. God bless you. Don't forget to shake Frank's hand because he'll be away tonight. And we'll not get to see him for another wee while. But we will keep praying for you then. You might be going the distance, but you're never that far away from our thoughts. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with you. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time in your presence. I pray that you will bless us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, let us remember that it is great to know that you're saved and going to hell. But that message is not private and it's not to be hidden away. It's to be shared. Please, Lord, I pray you save lost souls. Please use the conviction of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with words that they hear, gospel tracts through doors. Lord, any which way that you can use to reach them, I pray, please save souls. We love you and praise you. I pray you for safe travels for Frank, not just as he goes home this afternoon, but as he heads back to London. Please see him safely there and for ourselves as we head back home for lunch and back at the next appointed time. We love you and praise you.